Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja. Today we have a fun one. We talk about everything that happened in round two, and we preview everything to be expected for round three in the Western Conference Finals. This episode, we are joined by Clutch Talk, so thank you so much to John and Jay Hill for joining the episode. Please go give them a follow. You can find Clutch Talk on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can find them on YouTube. On YouTube, they post videos, they post interviews with former professional players. They post all sorts of content, so they are a great follow. So please go follow, subscribe, and listen to Clutch Talk. And yeah, without further ado, here is today's episode where we go over everything. It is going to be a fun one. Thank you again to John and Jay Hill for jumping on the pod, and I hope you guys like today's episode. Okay, so the Mavs, I told you, John, I told you that this was a different team. Okay, this is Jason Kidd has done an incredible job. Our defense has been outstanding. Those first two games, I don't know what happened. I think it was just, you know, no experience. You know, we were young, we were, you know, nervous. And, you know, a lot of these guys hadn't been out of the first round. So going to get up against Phoenix in Phoenix, those first two games obviously didn't go as planned. But after that, you know, Luka and Brunson, both of them really figured it out that, you know, they just need to be really physical with Chris Paul. Like Jay Hill said, you got to pick him up just full court. Whenever you're defending him, you got to be in his face. And then, you know, on offense, you just got to get the switches until you get Chris Paul, and you just got to back him down in the post and, you know, tire him out. But this isn't new for Chris Paul. You know, he's used to blowing leads. You know, he's like 0-for-5 on game sevens. He's lost four straight game sevens. Chris Paul has, but yeah, Luka was incredible. He had 35 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 6 threes, and he really didn't even play the fourth quarter. Dinwiddie was fantastic. He had been awful all series, really all playoffs long. He's been really bad. But in the last game, in game 6 and in game 7, he just came in clutch. I mean, he couldn't have come at a better time. Brunson, you know, he didn't have his big, you know, series like in Utah, but he was consistent, you know, except for those first two games. Brunson had at least 18 points in every game after that. But look, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, this whole Suns team, really, they were so cocky for a team who hadn't won a damn thing. They went to the this is Devin Booker's second Facts. Playoff appearance ever, his Facts. Second playoffs. And he's acting like he's Kobe or like, get out of here. So I loved that. And I love that they chose to clown Luka of all people. And Luka just straight up embarrassed them. You know, let's see here. Chris Paul and Booker combined for 21 points. They combined for 4 rebounds, combined for 6 assists. You know, this Suns team, they look like the pre-Chris Paul Suns. They look like the Suns led by Devin Booker when Devin Booker was asked to be the number one guy. This is Devin Booker. This is who Devin Booker really is. So I'm going to go ahead and ask John now, because last episode he was asking me, now, do you think you were wrong about saying, you know, Devin Booker?
Devin Booker is a superstar
yes, that you can yes, count on? That you can yes, count on.
Shaba, stop, bro. Come on. Be right. I understand you're a Mavs fan and you have a little bit of emotion into this, but just be logical for a second. You're trying to tell me Devin Booker isn't a superstar. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. You are lying to yourself. And I know you say, like, oh, this looked like the pre-Suns before Chris Paul. Do you realize that this Suns team was different before Chris Paul got there? Like, you realize that basketball is played 5-on-5, right? Like, it's not a one-on, it's not Devin Booker versus the other team. Like, I get it. You may not like the guy. I get it. He's annoying. He cries a lot. Yeah, I've never heard anyone cry in the summer about a double team. Yeah, I get it. He complains. He's annoying. But just like Kyrie Irving might be the most annoying person to touch face of this God's green, beautiful earth. But he can ball out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to take our biases aside and look at what he's doing on the court. Williams. This game seven. Okay, Lou Williams not a superstar though.
But no, I'm saying scoring-wise, you know, okay, he can score, but he can't lead a team.
Okay, but Devin Booker is head and heels above Lou Williams, and I hope you have that as well, because if you don't, I might just log out right now, because come on, bro. Like, you're trying to tell me you don't think Devin Booker is a superstar. Jay, you take the Warriors bias out of it. Is this a Warriors superstar?
Let me give my answer to you, Shaba. And this series changed things for me. Devin Booker, great player, star, absolutely star. But when I think of tiers, and I think of Jason Tatum's, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, I'm thinking of some other stars. But when I think of those top level, top tier, top one stars, guys who in game seven, yes, Devin Booker had a solid series. He didn't show up. Obviously, one of the worst games of his career, bad time to do it in game seven. But when I think of those players, guys who can get their superstars, who can rise above players and get their own shots, I can't really think of Devin Booker on that level yet. I think of him more as a Klay Thompson. He's a star. Superstar? I'm not ready to say it. Let's think of him more as a Klay Thompson level without the rings right now. I think that's more of a fair comparison for Devin Booker at this level. And Klay's got more rings and more accolades to himself, to be honest. Let's keep it a buck. He hasn't scored 70, but he's damn near scored pretty close. I think he's a star. I can't really say superstar after it. Superstars don't go 3-for-14 in a game seven.
Yeah. And there you go. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'll let you.
No. I was just going to simply add the fact that, so I understand that. I understand that viewpoint. And I actually think we talked about this, Jay, me, you and Jenner. We talked about this a while back, and I don't remember what you had said, but me and Jenner, we have both decided and both kind of came to the decision that Devin Booker is not all those players you listed and Tatum and LeBron and the Currys and Lucas, yes, I agree, he's not there, but I think he is above all the stars. Stars would be Ja Morant, stars would be Donovan Mitchell, stars would be those guys would be stars, and I think Devin Booker is above those guys, so he is the last tier of a superstar in my book. Well, is he on Tatum's level? No. Of course, I'm not even going to bring up LeBron's name. I'm not even going to bring up KD, Curry, those type of players. Those are the once in a generational time talents. But I think Devin Booker is definitely in that superstar category, maybe the last one to make that cut. But I just think I look, Shaba, I get it, man. I get you don't like the guy, but
John,
I'm talking about this on court play. What?
Shaba, I don't know if you agree. When I think of superstars, I think of it top five or top 10 players. Devin Booker's definitely not a top five player. And after this performance and after what I've seen so far, he's not a top 10 player. Even before
Name me 10 players.
Oh, easy.
Before Devin Booker.
Yeah,
go ahead. Name me 10 players I'll take before Devin Booker.
Giannis, Luka, Steph, LeBron, Jokic, Embiid. You got, hold on. I'm trying to think of who else is in
Kawhi. I put Kawhi over him.
Kawhi. I'd take Paul George.
Paul George.
I said him.
Bruh.
Okay, yeah.
Come on. That's still only eight.
I would take Jimmy Butler over.
I would take Jimmy Butler.
Stop it. You guys are lying to yourselves. All right, that's fine. You guys want to lie to yourself. You would not take Jimmy Butler over Devin Booker.
I wouldn't.
And I know you wouldn't.
I would in a heartbeat.
Come on, man. I like
what Jay Hill said, comparing him to Klay, because you know what? Booker is not a number one option. He's not. He's shown that to us in his first 6 years in his career. And then now he just showed that to us just now. You know, okay, Chris Paul, he's sucking. It's time for you to step up. And he gives you, what was it, 11 points in a game seven? I mean, look, if you want to talk smack and make jokes about the Luka special, ever since he made the Luka special, Devin Booker recorded only 30 points since making that joke about the Luka special. Luka had 68. That's the difference. That's the difference right there between Luka Doncic is a superstar.
And yes, that's never been in question, though.
Let's be real when we look at the landscape of that Suns team. Pops was Chris Paul. The leader of that team was Chris Paul. Yes,
he's 37.
I think the Suns did follow Devin Booker, but he followed Chris Paul. And when he wasn't on, we saw that Devin Booker didn't show up. So I can't expect a superstar's got to take over in game seven. And Devin Booker didn't do that. He relied on Chris Paul, and Chris Paul didn't even show up until maybe the fourth quarter when they were down by 40, my man. And I just can't expect that of a superstar, John. I'm not ready to say a superstar is going to show up like that. Yes, I might be a prisoner of the moment, but there's a body of work as well where doesn't point to Devin Booker being in that elite top 10 level to this point. Can he get there? Maybe, but right now, no, he's not there.
And this isn't Booker's third year or fourth year. This is his seventh, eighth year, something like that. So, you know, he doesn't get that pass. When he was the number one option in Phoenix and he led his team to the lottery every time, that was his chance to, you know, get all these bad games out the way. Once he decided he was a superstar, he can't have games like this. And he blew it. And, you know, Luka wiped the floor with him and Chris Paul at the same time. So, you know, Booker just isn't there yet. And I don't think he ever will be a superstar. I don't think he can ever lead a team himself. But that's just me. I mean, look, Devin Booker, your superstar. Hold on, where'd it go? Your superstar. The last seven fourth quarters combined, he had 22 points.
Hold on. That is not my superstar. I am just not going to sit here and listen to blasphemy. That's all I'm saying. That's not my superstar. Devin Booker is so annoying. I agree. But I'm not talking about his annoyance. I'm talking about his play on the court between those lines. He is a superstar, in my opinion. But well, talk to me. Go ahead. Keep going.
In the last seven fourth quarters in this series, Devin Booker had combined 22 points, 4 assists, 11 turnovers. Is that what a superstar does?
I think that's what someone who has a bad, uncharacteristic game, a terribly uncharacteristic game, fell off. And that was the worst time to happen.
You say throughout the series, Shaba? Is that what you said throughout the series?
Yeah.
He had 22 points and 11 turnovers. That's not what a superstar. 22 points and 11 turnovers. That's
not what
a superstar does.
In the last seven fourth quarters. So each basically in the seven games. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, my opinion, and I'm still holding strong, Devin Booker's a superstar. He's about to get paid because he's about to get selected to the first team All-NBA. That's a blasphemy. You don't even have him third on All-NBA. Like, that's a little ridiculous. Like,
I said maybe on. Third, maybe.
Come on, man. That's a little ridiculous.
I have him as All-NBA, but I don't think he's a star, superstar. I think he's a star. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Who else would you have him in where All-NBA? First, second, or third?
I haven't looked at the rankings like that. I think he's definitely deserving of top two.
Interesting.
He was on the best team. He was on the best team in the regular season, but definitely not in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, you know that best, Jay. That 73-19 that choked in the playoffs, Jay. The regular season champs.
Hey, the Suns, Shaba, the Suns have played, what, four healthy teams. And they've played, what, two? They beat two healthy teams, I believe. They've lost the four, yep. Arguably, yes. I think they still would have won that Lakers series if they were fully healthy. I just think the Suns were a better team than the Lakers in that series, and it was clear for a majority of that. But they still haven't beaten healthy teams. We saw what they did against when they played healthy teams, and they've lost to the Bucks and the Mavericks.
You know, I'm actually really glad you brought that up, J-Hill, because not only do I not think Devin Booker's a superstar. I thought that last year the whole Suns thing was a fluke. Every single team they played, their either best or second best player was out. So now, you know, they've beaten injured teams and, you know, they went to the finals, and now this year they're all cocky because they beat, you know, B team and C team players. It's, you know, there's levels, Shabba, let me act that way.
Let me ask you something. First, Jay, do you think that last season was a fluke?
But last season's run,
getting to the finals.
Do you think that was a fluke?
I can't say get any finals runs a fluke. I think there is definitely some. They didn't play healthy teams. That's a fact. They didn't play teams at their full strength. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't. I'm not going to go as far as to say a fluke.
Okay. Cool. Throughout all season, this season, we've been talking about the Suns, and I've asked you that. You've always gave them credit, man. You've always said, no, that was not a fluke, and I agree with you. That was not a fluke, because like how you say, you play who's in front of you. Like, what do you want them to do, Shabba? You want to be like, no. We're not going to play until they're fully healthy. Like, come on, bro. Like, I think that argument is so, like,
no.
I get it. But you got to play who's in front of you.
I'm talking about the cockiness.
I think the cockiness came from that ridiculous run that they went on in the regular season, and really by like head over heels being the number one seed, like think of like 10 games over the second seed. I think that's where they got their cockiness from. And I mean, so you gotta be confident on the court, bro.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up you play who's in front of you. Yes, there's fortune. There's some bad injuries that you play throughout, but I'm glad you brought in up the Golden State Warriors and their 73-9 failure to win the champ. But they made it all the way to the title. Let's not, and they lost in game seven. The Suns lost in the second round of game seven. I can never say making it the best number one, the best regular season record of all time. Let's not forget that. Probably the second best regular season, probably the second best team of all time. Yes, they didn't get it in the finals, but I can't say losing in the finals.
Can't be the best team. You can't win it. Hey, you can't.
Let me finish. 3-1. Losing in the championship is not a choke to me. Yes, 3-1. They did fumble away a 3-1 lead, but I will say getting out of the second round is inexcusable, and losing by 37. At home in the second round,
that's the only team to ever lose.
Is a choke job.
The only team to ever lose a 3-1 lead is the Golden State Warriors, the regular season champions, the 73-9 team. Hooray, you're a regular season champions. While I agree that 73-9 team is better than this Suns team, and I'm not comparing it. All I'm saying is, where you talked about the Suns being regular season champions this year. Yes, you know best, because the Warriors are regular season champions. They had that 73-9 season.
They won the West. Won the Western Conference.
Do you want that Western Conference banner? Here. Do you want that? No, I'm not. I'm saying, if you're not going to win it all, what are you doing? If you're not going to win it all, and they choked it. They had a 3-1 lead. Only team in NBA history. Look, Jay, I'm not comparing the Suns team to that 73-9 Warriors team. I think that 73-9 Warriors team.
What are you bringing them up better. For? I'm confused.
No, because you talked about the Suns being regular season champion, and you are a Warriors fan, and I'm saying you know best of regular season champions. That's
what. But the I'm Warriors confused are, about you know? What you're bringing. What's the point? What's the point?
Did you not just hear what I just said? I just told you. You brought up the Suns being regular season champions, and I told you, you can relate best to them because that's what the Warriors are. 73-9, choked the 3-1 lead. Mind you, only team in NBA history to do that.
Anyways, my point, Shabba, I'll just get that out. You bringing up 73 irrelevant seasons. I'm saying to be the regular season champion, we're talking about this season. I don't care about what happened 6 years, 7 years ago. Bringing up the Golden State Warriors. I get that. Maybe it's a little pressure point for you. But anyways, no one's pressed about that. I'm talking about this season. We're talking about this season, this past series with the Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks. I saw Luka Doncic shut up the Phoenix Suns, who had the best record, and lose by 37 in game seven. That's all I got to say. I'm done talking about this series.
Man.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic, star.
And also, let me give some credit also, because when people are talking about this series, it's all about, oh, the Suns choked, or, oh, the Suns didn't do this, or how about we give the Mavs some damn credit? They are a really good defensive team, and they just put the clamps on Chris Paul. And shout out to Frank Ntilikina from the Knicks, who came over to the Mavs. He really, really defended Devin Booker extremely well. And I think that Frank Ntilikina is maybe the reason why things tipped in the Mavs' favor, because once they put him in, I think it was starting game 3 or 4 where they started playing Ntilikina. That's when he really was putting, you know, having that great defense on Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Chris Paul, since turning 37, so the last five games of the series, he had a total of 27 assists, 22 turnovers, 20 fouls, and just 17 baskets. That's not just him getting his talent taken from the Monstars. That's, you know, the Mavericks putting in some work. But yeah, so the next series is going to be really good between the Warriors and the Mavs. We're about to talk about that. But real quick, does anyone have anything else to say about the Mavs series? No? Okay, so real quick, let's just cover Philly and the Miami Heat. So James Harden, another pretty much no-show. Joel Embiid, he was banged up, but he tried to play. He did play, and he got at least like 20 points, I think. But Jay Hill, John, what did you guys think of the Philly Heat series? Were there any surprises, or is this pretty much how you expected things to go?
I feel bad for Joel Embiid, man. That's it. That's it. I just feel bad for Joel Embiid. He had to deal with the prima donna Ben Simmons earlier in the season, and then he thinks he's getting Houston James Harden, and then he gets overweight, lazy, and not aggressive enough. James Harden, who was allowing Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey throughout the series to take more shots than him in a win or go home game. You take two shots. I believe it was two shots in the second half. And that's just upsetting, man, because Joel Embiid was out there on a fractured face, concussion, and a fractured right shooting thumb. And he just was out there by himself, man. And I really feel bad for him. And me and Jay Hill, we hopped on another podcast, and we were talking about the fact that, like, man, can he ever get a ring? Like, can Joel Embiid ever get a ring in Philly? And man, for me personally, the answer is he's going to need somebody else, because that team definitely isn't enough, man. James Harden as your number two option isn't enough anymore. Like, he's just, we've seen the best of James Harden. There's no more Houston, no more OKC James Harden.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we look at the process. It's 2014, haven't made it Eastern Conference Finals. And that's glaring. That's glaring to me.
Wow.
That's concerning. You're one of the best big men in the league. They build around you. They've made all these moves, you know, to put you in a position to win. I don't know if it's coaching, what it is, but at a certain point, Joel Embiid's got the look and see, can I win with what's around me? Right. You know, we talked about it a lot. I talked about it last night. I think Tyrese Maxey's a little bit of a glimmer of hope, but other than that, you know, James Harden's not getting any younger. John and I already said that, Shaba, we already said that we don't see him getting any better. We've seen the best of James Harden. He's only going to get worse, I think, ultimately. I don't think there's going to be a career resurgence next year. So you look at this Philly team, I don't really know where you go from here. You got to maybe look up some additions. What are you going to do with Tobias Harris? Are you going to look to offload him and get some more pieces? But it's win-now mode. We talk all the time about that championship window. You're Joel Embiid. What do you got to do? You got James Harden, one of the most prolific scorers of all time. I think he's going to want to stay on. And I mean, I'd be shocked if he didn't use his extension, because he's going to get paid. But I don't really know if you go. Like, Miami, to their credit, they got down, you know, after that game four, Philly evens it up, and then they took care of business. They made their adjustments in games four and five. They made other guys beat them, and Philly just didn't have the answers. They didn't have the weapons to compete in this series. I think we saw, you know, Philly, I think their best game was game three, but then we saw a heroic performance from James Harden to even up the series. And that just can't be replicated. Cause like I said, like that kind of performance is maybe a handful of times that we're going to see from James Harden. I think those days are past them, and that's just the series. But I will say this Heat team is not to be slept on in this next series, and which we'll get into. But those are my quick initial thoughts there.
Yeah, and just to make a note, I can't remember if it was you or John who said it, but you know, the process, there's not much to show for it. Fun fact, the Kings have made the conference finals more recently than the Sixers. So, you know, the process, it's taking a little longer than expected. But yeah, I mean, Joel Embiid, I can't help but feel bad for him. This guy, we talked about in the last episode, John, how he has this label of injury prone, but he seems to try and fight through any injury he has. And especially here, he had a concussion, orbital fracture. He had a broken thumb. I mean, this guy, he's given it his all. And to see a guy like Joel Embiid give it his all, and then you look next to him and a guy like James Harden, who honestly, I don't even know if he cares, you know, if he's really, is he really that interested in winning a ring? Obviously, everyone wants to win a ring. But is James Harden willing to put in the extra work, the extra determination? Is he willing to do that? Or is he happy to just get his numbers, get his money? I think that's really what the problem is with James Harden. And also, if I was Philadelphia, I would be really nervous this offseason, because James Harden is looking for an extension, and he is going to, if he does get an extension, he's going to be making $270 million. And at the age of 37, he's going to be making around $68 million if he does sign that extension. So that is really scary. But yeah, I mean, the Sixers, they just didn't have enough. You know, really, this trade for Harden and Ben Simmons was a complete catastrophe on all ends. You know, they did get rid of Ben Simmons, but, you know, they got a hobbled James Harden, who we don't know if he's injured or if it's just father time. But they also forgot, they also lost Seth Curry, who was huge for the Sixers. I think that he was probably the best player playing next to Embiid in regards to, you know, teammates that can play well with Embiid. I think that Curry was great next to Joel. So it's unfortunate that they lost that. But yeah, the Heat, their defense is just too much for the Sixers. The Sixers just didn't have enough firepower. And the Heat, they just demolished them. So yeah, so the Miami Heat, they will be moving on to face the Celtics. So that's it for that series. So now we're going to do the preview for both conference finals between the Heat and the Celtics and the Mavs and the Warriors. All right, guys. So here we are with Clutch Talk with Jay Hill and with John. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. Happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So we had some really fun and interesting round two matchups. So let's start with, you know, the more blockbuster type one, which is the Bucks and Celtics. Either one of you, whoever wants to start off. You know, the Bucks lost, so the Celtics move on to the next round. But what did you see here in this matchup between the Celtics and the Bucks?
Man, I mean, I just honestly, I'll go ahead and kick it off here. I'll talk about the Bucks, man. Honestly, besides the fact that Chris Middleton wasn't out there, and that's one of the biggest things, man. I think that the Bucks really just, as a team, you know, didn't show up. Besides Giannis, I mean, we talked about it on our pod all throughout the season, man. We said it. Later in the playoffs, Giannis can't just keep having these heroic performances and saving the team. Like, these shooters need to step up in Grace Nowlin, Pat Connaughton, George Hill. And they just didn't, man. They didn't. I think out of all those games, Grace Nowlin maybe had one good game. Pat Connaughton had another good game. And the rest, man, they were wide open because the Celtics were just packing the paint for Giannis, building that wall. And all they had to do was just knock down those shots, man. And they couldn't do that. And that's ultimately what made stuff harder for Giannis. Cause, you know, if the Celtics are relying on these shooters to win the game, they're just going to pack the paint, man. And then, I mean, let's all not forget about Brook Lopez and that drop coverage. So that's a big reason, but those are some quick things that I saw from the series. But I don't know about you guys.
You know what, when you look at this series and you look at teams and championship teams and their ability to maintain and keep the same roster, and I look at the Bucks and I look at their deficiencies, you know, John, you mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks, Brook Lopez, that drop coverage, Mike Budenholzer's specifically to me, his inability to make adjustments throughout the series killed the Bucks. But I look at a key piece that the Bucks lost last offseason and that they weren't willing to pay. And that player is PJ Tucker, who they could have used so much in this series. Their ability to play small, he was a huge reason to why the Bucks won the championship last year. And Grayson Allen and Wesley Matthews were not filling the role that the huge gaping hole that PJ Tucker left. His ability to play small, his ability to guard, match up with a guy like Grant Williams, to get some valuable possessions on Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, switch up. That ability was hugely lost, and it was a huge and visible to what the Bucks weren't able to do. Not to mention Chris Middleton, their primary pick and roll ball handler that they missed in that series. But Grayson Allen was just exploited. Number one, of course, he didn't make shots, but I look at it on the defensive end as well. Huge. He was giving up so much. And then obviously he wasn't making shots. So that's another minus ball player. Wesley Matthews had stretches of good play, but he wasn't getting it done. He's not certainly not filling what PJ Tucker. So I just look at those little adjustments and little pieces that you need to keep on if you're a championship intent. And let's not forget that the Bucks had a great season, yes, but I think it's too early. You know, there's talks about Budenholzer getting rid of him, firing him. But I think there was just some small moves, you know, mistakes. And I also look at the Bucks. They gave up a lot to get Drew Holiday, and they got a championship out of it, but they gave up a lot in that trade. Let's not forget that. And then their drafting. I was looking earlier this morning about at their drafting and how the Bucks have drafted. They really haven't nailed a pick since Giannis. And that's deficient. So you build, what do championship teams do? Especially now you build through the draft, and you try to sign free agents, and you got to retain the guys that helped you, that made you successful. And they weren't able to do that. And I also, real quick, Dante DiVincenzo, I think we saw that move. I didn't like it right away when it happened. And I especially didn't like it after seeing this series. And Boston just exploited all these mismatches and misfortunes that the Bucks had throughout their game plan.
Hey, Jay, honestly, so just real quick, I totally forgot about Dante DiVincenzo. Honestly, that didn't even cross. Like, we have a podcast and we talk about these teams all the time, and it just totally slipped my mind that he was on this team. Like, he could have been so useful in this series. In this game seven, the Bucks shooters, as a team here, not one player, as a team, went 4 for 33, a ridiculous 12%. You know, I know Dante DiVincenzo would have been so useful as being a knockdown shooter, man. I honestly totally forgot about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I totally forgot about it too. So that's a really good pickup there, Jay Hill. But yeah, this was just a really, the Bucks were just limited. You know, they didn't have, obviously, Chris Middleton, which is huge. I mean, if you go back to last year, they wouldn't have even gone close to the finals without Chris Middleton. But yeah, they just let the Celtics just shoot a ton of threes, and the Celtics were happy to do it. And the Bucks didn't make anything. I mean, shooting 12% from three, that's just wild. Giannis also, he only had 8 points in the second half. Let's see, Drew Holiday was 0 for 6 from 3. Grant Williams was 7 for 18 from 3. They allowed Grant Williams to shoot 18 threes. Now, Grant Williams isn't the best three-point shooter, but you can't let a guy have 18 basically wide-open shots. It felt like all of his shots were wide open. Jason Tatum, he continues to be incredible. Now, for a second there, towards the end of that series, I thought that Jason Tatum was going back to being the, you know, old Jason Tatum. I talked to you about it, John, how he's not going to be a superstar to me until he gets that consistency. And, you know, he was losing that consistency for a bit here in this series, but he got it back. He remembered who he was, And, you know, he just dominated. But yeah, he ended with 23.6 rebounds, 8 assists. He had 23 points on 14 shots. That's something I like about Jason Tatum. When he's on it, he's very efficient. Jaylen Brown had 19 points. Giannis, he only had 25 points. He did have 20 rebounds and 9 assists, but he shot 10 for 26. So really good. That's another thing. The Bucks really, they put up a wall for Giannis between Robert Williams, Daniel Theis. Who's the other big that I'm missing? Al Horford. Al Horford was huge for the Bucks. I mean, this guy is how old? I think he's like 36, and he was killing it. And also the Bucks, they lost despite out rebounding the Celtics 56-48, which, you know, the Bucks were the number one rebounding team, so, you know, that was good. But yeah, the Bucks, they only shot 36.7% for the entire game. So yeah, that's just not going to get it done. But, you know, this was just a really kind of like another guy that we're seeing in the Western Conference. We're watching a guy here in the Eastern Conference and Jason Tatum, you know, elevate his stardom. And, you know, he's getting to be at that very top tier now. So it was definitely a really fun series to watch. It was really intense. And now the Celtics move on to face the Miami Heat, which we will talk about the matchup later on. Is there anything else you guys want to throw in about Bucks, Celtics, anything you want to say about Giannis or anything like that, or are we good to go?
No, I mean, I think the Bucks just need to run it back and have Chris Middleton there. I mean, I think they're still a championship team, still got a championship roster. Just need your closer and your best half court player in Chris Middleton.
Yep. All right, guys. So that's the first series. So let's go ahead and do the second series. So we're going to do Warriors and Grizzlies. So the Warriors, they got it in six games. Ja Morant was out for the last two games, unfortunately, due to a bone bruise. John, Jay Hill, whoever wants to take over, what'd you guys think of this series? And what do you think about the Warriors moving into the next round?
Okay, so I was gonna let Jay Hill go first, since Jay Hill being this the Dub Nation faithful, being a big time Warriors fan.
Go ahead.
Yeah, all right.
See what you guys say about it.
Yeah, man. So after that horrendous, ugly performance from Game 5 from the Warriors, and nobody scored over 20 points, they get out rebounded on both ends. They have the definition. I would consider this probably a definition of a bounce back game in that game six, man. I mean, Curry has a 30 point game. Clay has a 29 point game. Andrew Wiggins stepped up. And above all, like I the Warriors had a good game, but I think my boy Kevon Looney was the difference maker out there. Kevon Looney and Draymond Green, and in the rebounds that they got, man. And especially Kevon Looney, I was looking at this stat and I honestly didn't even believe it at first. I was like, he got 11 offensive rebounds and 11 defensive rebounds. The amount of extra possessions that is, second chance points, that is insane. And that's what was hurting the Warriors, man. The Warriors were just getting out rebounded almost every game, and that was really hurting them. The Grizzlies were getting a lot of second chance points, and that was hurting the Warriors. But they put a big in there. Draymond Green stepped up. I mean, but besides that game six, he's practically like not even out there, not being the Draymond Green that we know Draymond Green can be, man. But then he steps up game six, has a huge game six, and so does Kevon Looney, man. So for that, shout out Kevon Looney. I think that's probably his career high moment in his career. And and moving forward, man. Yeah, I think the Warriors Warriors gotta send a big prayer up to the Lord for letting CP3, Devin Booker, and play like butt, because now the Warriors get to play the Mavs. And Shaba, I know you're a big Mavs fan, but I think I got the Warriors in five on that. And moving forward, but I want to hear what you got to say, Shaba, being a Mavs fan. And then, like I mentioned, Jay Hill being the Dub Nation faithful, I want to hear what you guys got to say on that series as well. But that's how I feel about the Grizzlies series.
Well, right now, let's just cover Warriors Grizz, and then we'll go in depth about the next round, and we'll talk about why the Mavs are gonna beat the Warriors. Jay Hill, what did you see about this series between the Warriors and the Grizz?
Yeah. First of all, I thought this was extremely, when I saw this series, I just thought it was extremely surprising because of, number one, the storylines throughout the series. Number one, if you would have told me the Grizzlies being one of the best offensive, just pure rebounding teams in the game, in the league, for the Warriors to win the rebounding battle for the majority of the series, 4 out of 6, completely surprising to me. On the other hand, I think this was just an indication throughout the series that the Warriors and their inability to take care of the ball. And those glaring deficiencies we'll get into the next round, but are concerning to me. But I think that's what majority really kept the Grizzlies in the series and in a lot of games, because if you're not able to get full possessions and can take care of the ball and get a number of shots, especially when you have great shooters like the Warriors do, although they only shot the ball well in about three of the six games, so about half the series. I think that was a huge key and a glaring deficiency for the Warriors in that series. And then you look on the other side, I just saw the relentlessness, the grittiness of the Grizzlies without Ja Morant, their star, their best player, and then with him, that their ability to adjust. It's what I saw in that. It's just a completely different team. You know, all along we know the Grizzlies aren't a better team without Ja, but it's almost like with him out of the lineup, they just find a new identity. They know it's not one guy who's going to beat the other team. They just have a lot of guys. They're like a well-oiled machine, similar to the Warriors in their offense. I feel like they're like that, the constant ball movement, guys cutting, guys flashing, Desmond Bane getting looks, Dylan Brooks getting looks, Steven Adams, his ability in games 4 and 5 to just change the dynamic of that series with his rebounding, his passing from the high post, getting guys in back doors, Tyus Jones, his ability to step up. So, I mean, I can't really talk much more about this young, hungry Grizzlies team. I think they're the future of the league, to be honest, in the Western Conference when I look at it, that team. But then on the Warrior, back to the Warriors, I think for them, the ability to play small in this series and still rebounding. We saw Andrew Wiggins, his ability to rebound. Klay Thompson rebounded the ball well. As Otto Porter too. I think him being out, you know, he went down in game 5, the game they got blown out back in Memphis. I think he's going to be a key to the next series. But I think throughout this series, we saw his ability to number one, stretch the floor, attract the defense, keep the defense honest, which you don't get from a guy like Draymond Green and Kevon Looney. The defense is respecting them the same as you're respecting a guy like Otto Porter. And then his switchability, and his weak side defense was crucial at a majority of the times for the Warriors. So I look at those to be keys in the next series. But for this series, I think that was a huge success. And then other guys stepping up. The lack of aggressiveness of Stephen Curry in this series was concerning. But other guys stepped up. We saw Jordan Poole the first two games of the series, although they only got one. He stepped up. And then later on in the series, Andrew Wiggins had some solid games, was consistent through the majority of the season. He was my X factor, to be honest. He was a huge reason why the Warriors were able to get out of this in 6, and a huge reason why they were able to win this series. But then Klay Thompson, obviously we know what he does in game 6. Klay Day, he did his thing, came up big. And then Kevon Looney, his ability on the glass, they matched the Grizzlies' presence. You know, you want to play a big man, we're going to play ours, and they were able to do that. You fight fire with fire, and they came out on top, man. But I can't say enough about that young Grizzlies team, but the Warriors were able to get it done in 6.
Yeah, it was really unfortunate that Ja came out. You know, when Ja got injured, everyone, you know, was making the jokes, oh well, you know, now the Grizz are going to win. But you know, in the playoffs, this is when you need your superstar. It doesn't matter how good your record was during the regular season without him. It's a completely different story. Steph and Clay, they combined for 59 points in that last game. Andrew Wiggins was really big. He was really big during the whole series. I think he's going to be really big next series, or at least really important. The Grizzlies, they're not going to get it done when Dylan Brooks is their, top scorer. He had 30 points. Good for him. Great game. But, he can't be your number one guy. The Warriors, this was an interesting one to me. The Warriors out-rebounded the Grizz 70-44. And the Warriors aren't a rebounding team. So, and the Grizzlies are. And, the Warriors just demolished them. Like you said, Kevon Looney, 22 rebounds. Steph, he only shot 33% from three in this series. And so that's something to look out for here in this next series. Jordan Poole has been playing well still. Klay Thompson, huge game six. Klay hasn't been his consistent self, but, he has, and he's had some, honestly, I don't want to say low IQ, but he has some sloppy plays, at the end of games and stuff like that. But, he redeems himself. It always seems like when he commits an error at the end of the game, he somehow is able to fix it by, doing something that'll help the team win. The Warriors are just, that's who they are, the Warriors. The Grizzlies are going to be around for a long time with John Moran, with Desmond Bane, with Dylan Brooks, with this young core. They're going to be bugging a lot of teams in this Western Conference for a long time. So next up, we're going to go to the game that we had yesterday, and it's going to be game seven between the Mavs and the Suns. I'd like to hear first from you guys, and then I'll go ahead and pitch in, but John, Jay Hill, who wants to go first and talk about this Mavs-Sun series?
Look, man, this is a beatdown. It was a beatdown, man. This game should have been over at halftime. Me and Jay Hill, we're gonna hop on this this other dude's podcast after the Suns and Mavs game 7. We told him like, oh yeah, we'll hop on after. And then I even thought about DMing him at halftime and being like, you want to just start now? Because this game is over. And I still think the Suns are a better team than the Mavs. I think there was an extremely uncharacteristic game. That was one. And unfortunately, it was a game seven. And that's on CP3 for messing up. That's on Devin Booker for messing up. That's Jay, I said, in my opinion. So that's on CP3 for messing up. That's on Devin Booker. And it's on DeAndre Ayton. It's on the Stars for, in that first half, combined CP3 and Devin Booker, the two shot makers, the two shot takers. When it's game seven, Chaba, you just said in the playoffs, you need your best players. You need your best players there to show up, because that's exactly what happened. Where was Devin Booker? Where was CP? They were 0-for-11 to combine in that first quarter, man. I think that is just absolutely horrendous. And then another thing that I saw that I really was judging CP and D Book on was the fact that while they were missing, they were referring to Jay Crowder. They were letting Jay Crowder shoot. They were letting Mikal Bridges shoot. They were letting everybody else shoot besides them. And I feel like in that moment, in that game seven, when the altitude is that high, you need to show up as the best player. And I don't care if you take 50 shots, but I would rather have Devin Booker take 50 shots than Jay Crowder take three threes in a row coming down court. Like that's how I feel about it. And CP3, unfortunately, man, we have seen the best of CP3. Father Time is undefeated, and I know our guy CP3 went vegan, was maybe finding out a way to beat Father Time, but nah, Father Time just came out with a clean right hook, knocked him out, and now we got to see how he's gonna bounce back. I definitely am interested in that. And then while I'm talking about CP, just want to throw in there, I don't know what Patrick Beverley's talking about. I don't know if you guys have seen that going on around the league. Patrick Beverley's kind of hating on CP3. I don't know what that's about.
They've always had history,
man. I don't know what Patrick Beverley's tripping on, man. That's a legendary point guard, but who didn't come up game seven, man, but doesn't, I don't think that one game is going to, you know, tarnish his entire career that he has set out there.
Jay Hill.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, credit to the Dallas Mavericks, down 2-0 to win 4-5 against the team with the best record in the NBA. Can't take enough away from the Dallas Mavericks. Just great adjustments made by Jason Kidd throughout that series make CP3, a 37-year-old, 36, I don't know, turned
37.
It's like he aged three years overnight. But man, to put Luka consistently attack him throughout the series, what a great game plan implemented by Jason Kidd. Honestly, what I saw from the Mavericks in this series really scares me as a Warrior fan. I think it's a bad matchup. I saw all along, you know, we won't get into this, but I think that it's a worse, the Suns were a better matchup for the Warriors than the Mavericks. We'll get into that in a little bit. But when I see the adjustments that the Suns made, they didn't really make any, honestly. They tried to put the ball in DeAndre Ayton's hands. I don't know if he's going to be a Suns son next year. That's a question mark to me. But he couldn't get it done. And we saw the falling out. There was talks of him and Monty Williams getting into it after the game. But it seems like whenever they put the ball into them in game seven, he didn't want it. You know, there's a play that sticks out to me against Jalen Brunson. And I thought, you look back at the film, you think, oh, Jabba, you might remember seeing this. You think he's going to turn around and dunk it on him. No, he didn't, because DeAndre Ayton hasn't been making those plays throughout his career. And it was another case of that we saw last night. And let's be honest, you know, a lot of people, John, I know you included, thought the Suns were the best team in the West. But to be down 30 at home, still in on. Game seven,
it's one characteristic game.
You can't be considered the
you're
best.
You're basing one game on an entire season on an entire season. You're basing one game on an entire season.
You play right. seven. You play seven game series. Last I checked, you have
yeah
you have four,
yeah. But
you have
yeah, seven but you're gonna game, pay, you had, but you're gonna base a whole season. You're gonna base a whole season on one game.
You had your chance to talk. You had your chance to talk.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. But you're gonna base a whole season on one game. Come on, bro.
Hey, come on, bro. Last time I checked, you have four opportunities. You have seven opportunities to win four games, and the Suns didn't get it done, and they lost by 37 at home.
I'm taking the facts. Everyone's hearts. Everyone knows the fact that it was an uncharacteristic game. The Suns throughout the entire season led almost all offensive units, all the defensive units did all of that, except they had one uncharacteristic game, and it happened to be game seven. Did they mess up? They fumbled the bag big time because they had an uncharacteristic game in the worst possible game to have. But that doesn't take away the fact that maybe if you don't agree, then you don't agree. But in my opinion, and I would say in the majority of other people's opinions, when you look at the numbers, they're still the best team. They're still the best team in the league. But next year, I don't know if that's going to be the case, because now we're going to have a 38-year-old CP3. And we just seen what DeAndre Ayton does when it comes down to it, man. But I'm just saying, for this year, I still have the best team.
And you got your chance to talk. I'm going to talk now. And to answer your question, Shaba, what I saw in this series, I saw a team, the so-called team, who's that had the best record. That's a fact. In the regular season. Had seven opportunities to win four games, didn't get it done, lost by 37 at home. After I saw a motivated, in my opinion, who's been the best player in the series, and Luka Doncic absolutely take over this damn series. He says, Devin Booker, you want to talk about the Luka special treatment? Well, let me give you the Luka special treatment. And he absolutely took over this series. And in that first quarter, mind you, I looked at the faces of that Suns team. I looked at the faces of that crowd, and they had no answer for what Luka Doncic did to that club. And man, that was an inspiring performance. I honestly, from game seven performances, number one, from the Suns' point of view, that arguably, you know, maybe it's prisoner of the moment for me, but I think that was arguably one of the worst losses for the circumstances of the team and I've ever seen in the NBA history. And for, on the other side from Luka Doncic, my goodness, man, for all the criticism and all the talking, I hear with Patrick Beverley throughout the season, the Suns have been talking big, and Luka absolutely shut him up, man. And like I always say, the snake, the head of the snake, the body will follow. And that's what the Mavericks did. They saw their leader going after it, going to war, going to battle, and the rest of the Mavericks saw that, and they followed suit, man. And the Suns really had no answer, and they were just blitzed and they were punched, hit with the best punch, and they had no counter, man. And they, credit to them, they took care of business the first two games, Shaba and John, and then they just had no answer the four out of five games after that, man. And credit to the Mavericks team. This is a dangerous team and not to be taken lightly in this next round by the Warriors.
Okay, so the Mavs, I told you, John, I told you that this was a different team. Okay, this is Jason Kidd has done an incredible job. Our defense has been outstanding. Those first two games, I don't know what happened. I think it was just, you know, no experience. You know, we were young. We were, you know, nervous. And, you know, a lot of these guys hadn't been out of the first round. So going to get up against Phoenix in Phoenix, those first two games obviously didn't go as planned. But after that, you know, Luka and Brunson, both of them really figured it out that, you know, they just need to be really physical with Chris Paul. Like Jay Hill said, you got to pick him up just full court. Whenever you're defending him, you got to be in his face. And then, you know, on offense, you just got to get the switches until you get Chris Paul, and you just got to back him down in the post and, you know, tire him out. But this isn't new for Chris Paul. You know, he's used to blowing leads. You know, he's like 0-5 on game sevens. He's lost four straight game sevens, Chris Paul has. Luka was incredible. He had 35 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 6 threes, and he really didn't even play the fourth quarter. Dinwiddie was fantastic. He had been awful all series, really all playoffs long. He's been really bad. But in the last game in game 6 and in game 7, he just came in clutch. I mean, he couldn't have come at a better time. Brunson, you know, he didn't have his big, you know, series like in Utah, but he was consistent, you know, except for those first two games. Brunson had at least 18 points in every game after that. But look, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, this whole Suns team, really, they were so cocky for a team who hadn't won a damn thing. They went to this is Devin Booker's second playoff appearance ever, his second playoffs. And he's acting like he's Kobe or like, get out of here. So I love that. And I love that they chose to clown Luka of all people. And Luka just straight up embarrassed them. You know, let's see here. Chris Paul and Booker combined for 21 points. They combined for 4 rebounds, combined for 6 assists. You know, this Suns team, they looked like the pre-Chris Paul Suns. They looked like the Suns led by Devin Booker when Devin Booker was asked to be the number one guy. This is Devin Booker. This is who Devin Booker really is. So I'm going to go ahead and ask John now, because last episode he was asking me, now, do you think you were wrong about saying, you know, Devin Booker?
Bro, come on.
Do you still think that Devin Booker is a superstar that you can count on? That you can count on?
Shaba, stop, bro. Come on. Be right. I understand you're a Mavs fan and you have a little bit of emotion into this, but just be logical for a second. You're trying to tell me Devin Booker isn't a superstar. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. You are lying to yourself. And I know you say, like, oh, this looked like the pre-Suns before Chris Paul. Do you realize that this Suns team was different before Chris Paul got there? Like, you realize that basketball is played 5-on-5, right? Like, it's not a one-on, it's not Devin Booker versus the other team. Like, I get it. You may not like the guy. I get it. He's annoying. He cries a lot. Yeah, I've never heard anyone cry in the summer about a double team. Yeah, I get it. He complains. He's annoying. But just like Kyrie Irving might be the most annoying person to touch face of this God's green, beautiful earth. But he can ball out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to take our biases aside and look at what he's doing on the court. Williams. This game seven. Okay, Lou Williams not a superstar though.
But no, I'm saying scoring-wise, you know, okay, he can but he can't lead a team.
Okay, but Devin Booker is head and heels above Lou Williams, and I hope you have that as well, because if you don't, I might just log out right now, because come on, bro. Like, you're trying to tell me you don't think Devin Booker is a superstar. Jay, you take the Warriors bias out of it. Is this a Warriors superstar?
Let me give my answer to you, Shaba. And this series changed things for me. Devin Booker, great player, star, absolutely star. But when I think of tiers, and I think of Jason Tatum's, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, I'm thinking of some other stars. But when I think of those top level, top tier, top one stars, guys who in game seven, yes, Devin Booker had a solid series. He didn't show up. Obviously, one of the worst games of his career, bad time to do it in game seven. But when I think of those players, guys who can get their superstars, who can rise above players and get their own shots, I can't really think of Devin Booker on that level yet. I think of him more as a Klay Thompson. He's a star. Superstar? I'm not ready to say it. Let's think of him more as a Klay Thompson level without the rings right now. I think that's more of a fair comparison for Devin Booker at this level. And Klay's got more rings and more accolades to himself, to be honest. Let's keep it a buck. He hasn't scored 70, but he's damn near scored pretty close. I think he's a star. I can't really say superstar after it. Superstars don't go 3-for-14 in a game seven.
Yeah. And there you go. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'll let you.
No. I was just going to simply add the fact that, so I understand that viewpoint. And I actually think we talked about this, Jay, me, you and Jenner. We talked about this a while back, and I don't remember what you had said, but me and Jenner, we both decided and both kind of came to the decision that Devin Booker is not all those players you listed, and Tatum and LeBron and the Currys and Lucas, yes, I agree, he's not there, but I think he is above all the stars. Stars would be John Morant, stars would be Donovan Mitchell, stars would be those guys would be stars, and I think Devin Booker is above those guys, so he is the last tier of a superstar in my book. Well, is he on Tatum's level? No. Of course, I'm not even going to bring up LeBron's name. I'm not even going to bring up KD, Curry, those type of players. Those are the once in a generational time talents. But I think Devin Booker is definitely in that superstar category, maybe the last one to make that cut. But I just think I look, Shaba, I get it, man. I get you don't like the guy, but
John,
I'm talking about this on court play. What?
Shaba, I don't know if you agree. When I think of superstars, I think of it top five or top 10 players. Devin Booker's definitely not a top five player. And after this performance and after what I've seen so far, he's not a top 10 player, even before the playoffs.
Name me 10 players.
He's not a top
10 players. Name me 10 players.
Oh, easy.
Devin Booker.
Yeah,
go ahead. Name me 10 players I'll take before Devin Booker.
Giannis, Luka, Steph, LeBron, Jokic, Embiid. Hold on. I'm trying to think of who else is in
Kawhi. I put Kawhi over him.
Kawhi. I'd take Paul, say George. Embiid?
Paul George. Paul George.
I said him.
Bruh.
Okay, yeah.
Come on. That's still only eight.
I would take Jimmy Butler over.
I
would take
Jimmy Butler. Stop it. You guys are lying to yourselves. All right, that's fine. If you guys want to lie to yourself, you would not take Jimmy Butler over Devin Booker.
I wouldn't.
And I know you wouldn't.
I would in a heartbeat.
Come on, man. I like
what Jay Hill said, comparing him to Klay, because you know what? Booker is not a number one option. He's not. He's shown that to us in his first 6 years in his career. And then now he just showed that to us just now. You know, okay, Chris Paul, he's sucking. It's time for you to step up. And he gives you, 11 points in a game seven? I mean, look, if you want to talk smack and make jokes about the Luka special, ever since he made the Luka special, Devin Booker recorded only 30 points since making that joke about the Luka special. Luka had 68. That's the difference. That's the difference right there between a Luka Doncic is a superstar.
That's never been in question, though.
Let's be real when we look at the landscape of that Suns team. Pops was Chris Paul. The leader of that team was Chris Paul. Yes,
he's 37.
I think the Suns did follow Devin Booker, but he followed Chris Paul. And when he wasn't on, we saw that Devin Booker didn't show up. So I can't expect a superstar's got to take over in game seven. And Devin Booker didn't do that. He relied on Chris Paul, and Chris Paul didn't even show up until maybe the fourth quarter when they were down by 40, my man. And I just can't expect that of a superstar, John. I'm not ready to say a superstar is going to show up like that. Yes, I might be a prisoner of the moment, but there's a body of work as well where doesn't point to Devin Booker being in that elite top 10 level to this point. Can he get there? Maybe, but right now, no, he's not there.
And this isn't Booker's third year or fourth year. This is his seventh, eighth year, something like that. So, you know, he doesn't get that pass. When he was the number one option in Phoenix and he led his team to the lottery every time, that was his chance to, you know, get all these bad games out the way. Once he decided he was a superstar, he can't have games like this. And he blew it. And, you know, Luka wiped the floor with him and Chris Paul at the same time. So, you know, Booker just isn't there yet. And I don't think he ever will be a superstar. I don't think he can ever lead a team himself. But that's just me. I mean, look, Devin Booker, your superstar. Hold on, where'd it go? Your superstar. The last seven fourth quarters combined, he had 22 points.
Hold on. That is not my superstar. I am just not going to sit here and listen to blasphemy. That's all I'm saying. That's not my superstar. Devin Booker is so annoying. I agree. But I'm not talking about his annoyance. I'm talking about his play on the court between those lines. He is a superstar, in my opinion. But well, talk to me. Go ahead. Keep going.
In the last seven fourth quarters in this series, Devin Booker had combined 22 points, 4 assists, 11 turnovers. Is that what a superstar does?
I think that's what someone who has a bad, uncharacteristic game, a terribly uncharacteristic game, fell off. And that was the worst time to happen.
You say throughout the series, Shaba? Is that what you said throughout the series?
Yeah.
He had 22 points and 11 turnovers. That's not what a superstar. 22 points and 11 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's not what a superstar does.
In the last seven fourth quarters. So each basically in the seven games. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, my opinion, and I'm still holding strong, Devin Booker's a superstar. He's about to get paid because he's about to get selected to the first team All NBA. That's a blasphemy. You don't even have him third on All NBA. Like, that's a little ridiculous. Like,
I said maybe on. Third, maybe.
Come on, man. Like, that's a little
ridiculous. I have him and as I think All NBA, but I don't think he's a star, superstar. I think he's a star. There's nothing wrong with that.
Who else you'd have him in where All NBA? First, second, or third?
I haven't looked at the rankings like that. I think he's definitely deserving of top two.
Interesting.
He was on the best team. He was on the best team in the regular season, but definitely not in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, you know that best, Jay. That 73-19 that choked in the playoffs, Jay. The regular season champs.
Hey, the Suns, Shaba, the Suns have played, what, four healthy teams. And they've played, what, two? They beat two healthy teams, I believe. They've lost the four, yep. Arguably, yes. I think they still would have won that Lakers series if they were fully healthy. I just think the Suns were a better team than the Lakers in that series, and it was clear for a majority of that. But they still haven't beaten healthy teams. We saw what they did against when they played healthy teams, and they've lost to the Bucks and the Mavericks.
You know, I'm actually really glad you brought that up, J-Hill, because not only do I not think Devin Booker's a superstar. I thought that last year the whole Suns thing was a fluke. Every single team they played, their either best or second best player was out. So now, you know, they've beaten injured teams and, you know, they went to the finals, and now this year they're all cocky because they beat, you know, B team and C team players. It's, you know, there's levels, Shabba, let me skip a couple levels to act that way.
Let me ask you something. First, Jay, do you think that last season was a fluke?
last season's run?
Getting to the finals.
Do you think that was a fluke?
I can't say get any finals runs a fluke. I think there was definitely some they didn't play healthy teams. That's a fact. They didn't play teams at their full strength. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not going to go as far as to say a fluke.
Okay, cool. Throughout all season, this season, we've been talking about the Suns, and I've asked you that. You've always gave them credit, man. You've always said, that was not a fluke. And I agree with you. That was not a fluke, because like how you say, you play who's in front of you. Like, what do you want them to do, Shabba? You want to be like, no. We're not going to play until they're fully healthy. Like, come on, bro. Like, I think that argument is so, like.
No. I get it.
But you got to play who's in front of you.
I'm talking about the cockiness.
I think the cockiness came from that ridiculous run that they went on in the regular season, and really by like head over heels being the number one seed, like think of like 10 games over the second seed. I think that's where they got their cockiness from. And I mean, you got to be confident on the court, bro.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up. You play who's in front of you. Yes, there's fortune. There's some bad injuries that you play throughout. But I'm glad you brought up the Golden State Warriors and their 73-9 failure to win the championship. But they made it all the way to the title. They lost in Game Seven. The Suns lost in the second round of Game Seven. I can never say making it the best number one, the best regular season record of all time. Let's not forget that. Probably the second best regular season, probably the second best team of all time. Yes, they didn't get it in the finals, but I can't say losing in the finals.
Can't be the best team. You can't win it.
Three-1. Losing in the championship is not a choke to me. Yes, 3-1. They did fumble away a 3-1 lead. But I will say getting out of the second round is inexcusable, and losing by 37 at home in the second round.
That's the only team to ever lose
is a choke job.
The only team to ever lose a 3-1 lead is the Golden State Warriors, the team that the regular season champions, the 73-9 team. Hooray, you're a regular season champions. While I agree that 73-9 team is better than this Suns team, and I'm not comparing it. All I'm saying is, where you talked about the Suns being regular season champions this year. Yes, you know best, because the Warriors are regular season champions. They had that 73-9 season.
They won the West, won the Western Conference.
Do you want that Western Conference banner? Do you want that? No, I'm not. I'm saying, if you're not going to win it all, what are you doing? If you're not going to win it all, and they choked it. They had a 3-1 lead. Only team in NBA history. Look, Jay, I'm not comparing the Suns team to that 73-9 Warriors team. I think that 73-9 Warriors team.
What are you bringing them up for? I'm confused.
No, because you talked about the Suns being regular season champion, and you are a Warriors fan, and I'm saying you know best of regular season champions. That's
what the Warriors are. But I'm confused about what you're bringing. What's the point? What's the point?
Did you not just hear what I just said? I just told you. You brought up the Suns being regular season champions, and I told you you can relate best to them because that's what the Warriors are. 73-9, choked the 3-1 lead. Mind you, only team in NBA history to do that.
Anyways, my point, Shabba, I'll just get that out. You bringing up 73 irrelevant seasons. I'm saying to be the regular season champion. We're talking about this season. I don't care about what happened 6 years, 7 years ago. Bringing up the Golden State Warriors, I get that. Maybe it's a little pressure point for you, but anyways, no one's pressed about that. I'm talking about this season. We're talking about this season, this past series with the Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks. I saw Luka Doncic annihilate, shut up the Phoenix Suns, who had the best record, and lose by 37 in Game 7. That's all I got to say. I'm done talking about this series.
Man,
yeah,
Luka Doncic, star.
And also, let me give some credit also, because when people are talking about the series, it's all about, oh, the Suns choked, or, oh, the Suns didn't do this, or how about we give the Mavs some damn credit? They are a really good defensive team, and they just put the clamps on Chris Paul. And shout out to Frank Ntilikina from the Knicks, who came over to the Mavs. He really, really defended Devin Booker extremely well. And I think that Frank Ntilikina is maybe the reason why things tipped in the Mavs' favor, because once they put him in, I think it was starting Game 3 or 4, where they started playing De La Quina. That's when he really was putting, you know, having that great defense on Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Chris Paul, since turning 37, so the last five games of the series, he had a total of 27 assists, 22 turnovers, 20 fouls, and just 17 baskets. That's not just him getting his talent taken from the Monstars. That's, you know, the Mavericks putting in some work. But yeah, so the next series is going to be really good between the Warriors and the Mavs. We're about to talk about that. But real quick, does anyone have anything else to say about the Mavs series? No. Okay. So real quick, let's just cover Philly and the Miami Heat. So James Harden, another pretty much no show. Joel Embiid, he was banged up, but he tried to play. He did play, and he got at least like 20 points, I think. But Jay Hill, John, what did you guys think of the Philly Heat series? Were there any surprises, or is this pretty much how you expected things to go?
Feel bad for Joel Embiid, man. That's it. I just feel bad for Joel Embiid. He had to deal with the prima donna Ben Simmons earlier in the season, and then he thinks he's getting Houston James Harden, and then he gets overweight, lazy, and not aggressive enough James Harden, who is allowing Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey throughout the series to take more shots than him in a win or go home game. You take two shots. I believe it was two shots in the second half. And that's just upsetting, man, because Joel Embiid was out there on a fractured face, concussion, and a fractured right shooting thumb. And he just was out there by himself, man. And I really feel bad for him. And me and Jay Hill, we hopped on another podcast, and we were talking about the fact that, like, man, can he ever get a ring? Like, can Joel Embiid ever get a ring in Philly? And man, for me personally, the answer is he's going to need somebody else, because that team definitely isn't enough, man. James Harden as your number two option isn't enough anymore. Like, he's just, we've seen the best of James Harden. There's no more Houston, no more OKC James Harden.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we look at the process. It's 2014, haven't made it Eastern Conference Finals. And that's glaring. That's glaring to me.
Wow.
That's concerning. You're one of the best big men in the league. They build around you. They've made all these moves, you know, to put you in a position to win. I don't know if it's coaching, what it is, but at a certain point, Joel Embiid's got the look and see, can I win with what's around me? Right. You know, I talked about it last night. I think Tyrese Maxey's a little bit of a glimmer of hope. But other than that, you know, James Harden's not getting any younger. John and I already said that, Shaba, we already said that we don't see him getting any better. We've seen the best of James Harden. He's only going to get worse, I think, ultimately. I don't think there's going to be a career resurgence next year. So you look at this Philly team, I don't really know where you go from here. You got to maybe look up some additions. What are you going to do with Tobias Harris? Are you going to look to offload him and get some more pieces? But it's win now mode. We talk all the time about that championship window. You're Joel Embiid. What do you got to do? You got James Harden, one of the most prolific scorers of all time. I think he's going to want to stay on. And I mean, I'd be shocked if he didn't use his extension, because he's going to get paid. But I don't really know if you go. Like, Miami, to their credit, they got down, you know, after that game four, Philly evens it up, and then they took care of business. They made their adjustments in games four and five. They made other guys beat them, and Philly just didn't have the answers. They didn't have the weapons to compete in this series. I think we saw, you know, Philly, I think their best game was game three, but then we saw a heroic performance from James Harden to even up the series. And that just can't be replicated. Cause like I said, like, That kind of performance is maybe a handful of times that we're going to see from James Harden. I think those days are past him, and that's just the series. But I will say this Heat team is not to be slept on in this next series, and which we'll get into. But those are my quick initial thoughts there.
Yeah, and just to make a note, I can't remember if it was you or John who said it, but you know, the process, there's not much to show for it. Fun fact, the Kings have made the conference finals more recently than the Sixers. So, you know, the process, it's taking a little longer than expected. But yeah, I mean, Joel Embiid, I can't help but feel bad for him. This guy, we talked about in the last episode, John, how he has this label of injury prone, but he seems to try and fight through any injury he has. And especially here, he had a concussion, orbital fracture. He had a broken thumb. I mean, this guy, he's given it his all. And to see a guy like Joel Embiid give it his all, and then you look next to him and a guy like James Harden, who honestly, I don't even know if he cares, you know, if he's really, is he really that interested in winning a ring? Obviously, everyone wants to win a ring. But is James Harden willing to put in the extra work, the extra determination? Is he willing to do that? Or is he happy to just get his numbers, get his money? I think that's really what the problem is with James Harden. And also, if I was Philadelphia, I would be really nervous this offseason, because James Harden is looking for an extension. And he is going to, if he does get an extension, he's going to be making $270 million. And at the age of 37, he's going to be making around $68 million if he does sign that extension. So that is really scary. But yeah, I mean, the Sixers, they just didn't have enough. You know, really, this trade for Harden and Ben Simmons was a complete catastrophe on all ends. You know, they did get rid of Ben Simmons, but, you know, they got a hobbled James Harden, who we don't know if he's injured or if it's just father time. But they also forgot, they also lost Seth Curry, who was huge for the Sixers. I think that he was probably the best player playing next to Embiid in regards to, you know, teammates that can play well with Embiid. I think that Curry was great next to Joel. So it's unfortunate that they lost that. But yeah, the Heat, their defense is just too much for the Sixers. The Sixers just didn't have enough firepower. And the Heat, they just demolished them. So the Miami Heat, they will be moving on to face the Celtics. So that's it for that series. So now we're going to do the preview for both conference finals between the Heat and the Celtics and the Mavs and the Warriors. All right, guys. So that was today's episode with Clutch Talk. Again, thank you so much to John and Jay Hill for jumping on the episode. I really appreciate it. I really always have so much fun when you guys join us. So thank you so much for that. Also, just a heads up that I will be recording a podcast with Clutch Talk again for the next round. So for the next episode, me and Clutch Talk, we will all be talking about everything that happened in the conference finals, as well as previewing the big NBA finals. So that is going to be a fun one. But thank you so much for listening to the Big Shot Pod. As usual, you can hit us up on Twitter. Our Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. Go ahead and send us a message. You know, go ahead and at us. Whatever you got to do to get our attention, please do, and we will go ahead and address whatever your comment, question, concern is on our next episode. But again, thank you so much to Clutch Talk. Again, everyone, please go listen to them. You can find them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can find them on YouTube. They're on all those platforms and more. So please go give them a listen. Go give them a follow. And once again, thank you so much, Clutch Talk. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jay Hill. That was today's episode. We will speak to you for the next round. And as usual, I am your host, Chava Baja, and thank you so much for listening to The Big Shot Pod. Have a good night, everyone.